Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben Crenshaw. It is the Open at Royal Troon. And I don't know. I know this is the fourth major of the year, and I love all the major championships, but there's something about the Open. You know, maybe it's because it takes us back to, like, I don't know, 18-something or other, when they first started playing, and they've been playing, you know, over 100 years, and all of the challenges at, well, we're going to talk about all of that in a couple of minutes. Our challenges today is surviving the heat. 85 to 90. All right, we're pushing that 92, and that was one of the highs. We haven't even gotten to August and September, right? So we're just going to be ready. Partly cloudy skies. Showers are likely for the Windward and Moka areas. The low 72 to 77, and the winds are out of the east today, 15 miles per hour, maybe up to 25 miles per hour in some areas. So just be prepared for some gusts. Yeah, they know all about gusts at the Open. Our tee times today, we've got at Mauchline an 836 and a 948. And at the Volcano Golf Club, there's an 832, a 910, and a 1048. And the better half is going out. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And we'd like you to win two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Course. And, you know, you can win both. It doesn't matter. We don't have Poipu Bay today. So the Volcano Golf Club is something that everyone should experience. At Poipu, 158 golfers are out. It's the Charity Walk Playing for Charities event today. No open tee times. Kauai Lagoons has a 1008. Hawaii Kai has a 928 and a 1040. Turtle Bay, 840, 950, 1006. Hey, the Beach Boys, they're on the course today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Eva Beach Golf Course, 850, 936. Bayview, 9 o'clock, 1010, 1108. And at Wailea, the Gold Course has a 920. The Emerald has an 1130. And the Blue has a 950 and some more. So give them a call. They may have something that works perfectly for you. And at Kapalua's Plantation Course, where the Century Tournament of Champions will be played soon, there's a 9:30 and a 10:28. All right, I've got a great list for you today. Bob Bupka is going to wrap the show with us. Dean Wilson is back. Michael Abramowitz is with us. Alex Myers and Mark Rolfing kicks it all off after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories, now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
And let's bring him right into the clubhouse, because Mark Rolfing is a gift, analyst and commentator, NBC Golf Channel, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association board member. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Danielle. And isn't this an interesting and fascinating Open Championship?
Oh, you know, I'm looking at just Rory McIlroy misses the cut. So does Ludwig Åberg, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood, Henrik Stenson, Tom Kim, Victor Hovland. Tiger Woods is in good company, wouldn't you say?
I would. You know, and what it really says, I think, Danielle, is if you look at the two big Opens, the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, they are so different. And at the U.S. Open, the two guys that were the main story are two of the longest drivers in the world, Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau. And they shot 9 over and 13 over here at Royal Troon. Distance means absolutely nothing here. You know, long hitting doesn't do you any good on a links course in Open Championship conditions. And You have to keep the ball out of these pot bunkers. You have to sort of plod your way around the course, have a very disciplined game plan, and that's basically what the guys that are at the top of the leaderboard are doing right now.
It's amazing. It really is. And I can't quite get my leaderboard. Who is at the top of the leaderboard right now? Is it who was it? Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, we got a three-way tie. We got Billy Horschel, Dan Brown, and Shane Lowry. Of course, Shane Lowry just made a double at the postage stamp hole, that tiny little 120-yard par 3, which, by the way, might be my favorite hole in major championship golf. It is just an incredible golf hole. But this thing is really getting tight now, and even though the weather looks bad, the wind is down. It's raining pretty hard right now, but the scoring conditions are actually good. Sam Burns just got in with a round of 65. So there are some low scores out there.
Well, okay. This is so much fun. When you said postage stamp, I just happened to have something that was perfect. It's perfect. One of the few players to pull off a terrific shot Friday at the postage stamp was Jesper Stubbs, the Asia-Pacific Amateur Champion at Royal Melbourne, opened with an 80 in round one, but he birdied three of his first five holes on Friday, and he arrived at the postage stamp, you know, hardly in the position to make the cut. And he said, as soon as you start thinking about hitting one of those bunkers, you're doomed.
Yeah, the coffin bunker, there's a bunker on the left of that green called the coffin bunker, and it literally is the size of a coffin. It's that deep, it's that narrow, and if you get in there, you're going to be hard-pressed to even make a double bogey. That's what Lowry just made. We saw Joaquin Niemann make an 8 from that bunker the other day. It's just a glorious golf hole, and it just shows me we don't need 240-yard par 3s in this game. I like them half the distance much better.
Yeah, you know, it challenges you, you know, in a way that this is the 152nd Open, and the first time veteran attendees with the non-prevailing wind. Do you think that has messed up a lot of these guys' games in addition to it not being a long course?
Yeah, it really had. Most of the players hadn't played the course under this opposite wind. Typically, the front nine is the real easy nine because it plays downwind, and then the back nine plays in. So it's sort of a par 32, 40, realistically, 72. But this week, it's been exactly the opposite. And Justin Thomas shot 45 on the front nine the other day. Aubert and McIlroy both shot 42. It's been a really, really hard nine holes. But it's playing easier now. The little bit of wet, damp air has softened it up a little bit, and I think you're going to see some pretty good scores the rest of the day here.
Yeah, Justin Thomas was playing really well. Is he still doing as well as he was yesterday?
Yeah, he's going to be five or six shots behind. The Open Championship is a hard event to come from too far behind on. In fact, I looked at a stat the other day, Danielle, that in the last 24 years, the winner every single year has been within five shots of the lead after the first round. After the first round, you had to be within five. And, of course, you know, none of the superstar guys, other than Scheffler, McIlroy, Aubert, DeChambeau, none of those guys were within the top five, and stats will tell you that their Open was almost over.
It's over. Now, of all these players, Billy Horschel, Shane Lowry, which, you know, wasn't he asked, are you a good front runner? And after a couple seconds said, no.
Yeah, I couldn't tell whether that was tongue in cheek or not. I'm sure he's not the greatest. He's certainly not a Tiger Woods kind of front runner, but you know, Lowry is just custom built for the Open Championship. Of course, he won in his home country of Ireland about 4 years ago. And, you know, he is built for this kind of thing. He's the only player, Danielle, that came to Royal Troon 2 weeks ago and practiced in a week where nobody was there. And he was fortunate enough that the wind was blowing from this opposite direction while he was there. So I think he's the only guy that's seen this course in this type of wind.
Yeah, there you go. Just as an aside, with Tiger Woods, you know, I think he should not practice, because when he is out there in a practice round, he does spectacularly. And then when the tournament starts, it's like he's tired already. His body can't take it.
Yeah, he's not moving as well as he needs to be able to move. You know, whether it's walking or actually making a golf swing, I don't know. You know, you and I have talked about this before. Is it time for him to say, I've had enough? I'm starting to lean in that direction. You know, everybody says, oh, well, he wants to get to the age of 50, which is a couple years away only now, and, you know, play on the Champions Tour. I can't imagine that would do much for him, to be honest with you. And I really feel like, you know, his legacy as a player is written. It's already written. It's not going to change no matter what he does the rest of his competitive career. But his legacy off the course has not been written yet. And I think he can do a world of good and can do it off the course, and that's what he ought to focus on.
Yeah, good point. Very good. And at the same time, I think he should just do what he wants to do. You want to go out and play and miss the cut? Fine. You know, I mean, it's in his blood. He wants to be there. And if he wants to be there, and I think they were smart to make it so, like, hey, you can come on and play on the PGA Tour in our really super duper events every time you, anytime, whatever, we don't care. It's great. You've earned it with 80 wins. And
yeah, I think the most important thing he could do though right now is steer the PGA Tour and the Saudis into some kind of an
yes.
agreement to get the world of golf back together. That would be really valuable.
Yes, no, you're right. Absolutely. And he has said that all of the commitments that he has off the course doesn't help his game on the course. And so, and it would be nice if this were all done. I was steering away from even talking about it, because there comes to a point where it's like, this is insane. How long have we been doing this? Is it 2 years? Is it three? It
yes.
feels like forever.
It is. And you know, the interesting thing to me is when you watch these big championships, you're starting to see more and more of the live players in contention. This Dean Burmester, you know, who's ever heard of him? Hardly. You know, he plays on the LIV Tour. There's a number of guys that are starting to show what they can do. And even Dustin Johnson now has gotten himself back into the mix here at this Open. He's not going to be out of it by the end of the day, I don't think. And so what it shows me is that the LIV golfers are still competitive. But there is no way it's going to be good for the game of golf if we got two tours competing with each other, and we don't know who's going to be playing where when. It's going to end up just like tennis.
Yeah. Oh, ouch. Yeah, those were some rough years. It still is. Yeah, and when you look at the names, you know, the really well-known Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Henrik Stenson, Tyrrell Hatton, Louis Oosthuizen, Bryson DeChambeau, Cameron Smith, those are all LIV players. If they were in the mix on the PGA Tour, that would bring eyes back. Eyes to the television to see fans excited to go. All of that seems to just be so missing, and it's a shame. But, you know, at the Open, it's fun. And of these five, I was about to say, Billy Horschel, Shane Lowry, what's Mr. Brown's first name?
It's Dan Brown.
Dan Brown, right. Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele, who do you think stands the best chance of being the victor tomorrow?
I still kind of like Shane Lowry. He just missed another short putt over a 10. But I think I still have a good feeling about Lowry right now. Billy Horschel played a phenomenal front nine today. He shot 32, didn't miss a fairway.
Wow.
He's driving it really well, so certainly don't count him out. But this thing is going to come down to the final hour tomorrow. The last few holes are really hard. And I think, you know, if I look at this Open Championship, to me, we need to keep this kind of major championship golf going. It is just so different from the Masters, so different from the U.S. Open. And in many ways, what this is telling me this week is this is the greatest golf tournament in the world. It's probably got the best field. It's got the most history. There's no question. But if you look at Augusta, you know, that's only a 90-person field. And there's a number of guys in that tournament that can't win. And the U.S. Open has, you know, a pretty good field, but not nearly as good as the Open Championship. And the PGA, you know, has 20 club pros playing in it. So I don't know. I'm starting to carry the banner. And I'm on my way to Connecticut for Golf Central this week. I'll be the analyst on the show up there this week on Golf Channel. And I think I'm going to come in with the theme that the Open Championship is the greatest golf tournament in the world.
Yes.
Other than the century.
How about that one? Yes. Other than the century. Well, yeah, I don't know if, you know, my father's English. He's not with us anymore. An avid golfer, you know, was part of the business plan. You had to play golf if you were in the sales world back, you know, in the 50s and 60s when he came to the States. And that's where golf is in my blood, you know, from that side of the pond. And I just love looking at what did they do? You know, let's go back to the postage stamp hole. They did something interesting. They put up grandstands and flags flying. What was going on? You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean that really is their signature hole. It's so unique, and it has so many elements of the Open in it. I mean, there's a railway very close where the trains go whizzing by. Oh. The runway at Prestwick Airport, where they can land a 747, is only 600 yards. You know, it starts only 600 yards from that eighth tee, that postage stamp tee. So you got planes flying in at a very low altitude. There's just a lot going on out there. But, man, if I were a spectator at Troon, I think I would go park myself out there and just watch, because that eighth hole is one of the most intriguing golf holes I've ever seen.
It sounds like being inside a pinball machine.
Yeah, really.
What's coming at me next? In addition to the wind and the rain. So it's still raining, huh?
Yeah, it's still raining, but I wouldn't say really hard. But the key is right now the wind's not blowing. So the scoring is actually pretty good, and I expect it to see that way. And this Dan Brown is hanging tough. He's only a shot behind. You know, in his last eight tournaments, I think he's missed seven cuts and had a WD. So this one has come out of nowhere, literally, but he's holding on pretty well.
That's awesome, because, he shot the low round in the first round, 66, as you said, and the round one scoring average was like, I think this is fun that they do this, 74.451. They get down right to it. There were 17 rounds under par, 10 rounds in the 60s, 12 in the 80s. It's really something how all of these things, the postage stamp yardage in round one was only 118. I mean, what do you use, a wedge for that?
It was probably a gap wedge for most of the players. But, you know, what's interesting about it is that the best players in the world are rising to the top. You know, Scottie Scheffler is 3 under par. He's only 3 behind right now. Xander Schauffele is only 2 behind. Mm-hmm. You know, that shows me just how good those players are and that they can adapt. And that's what some of the other players, especially like McIlroy and DeChambeau. Bear, I really am surprised at that.
Me too.
He kind of just went off the rails, got off to a bad start, and never really had it together at all. But it's going to be a great finish, and I don't get much sleep this week, that's for sure. I watch pretty much wall to wall.
I don't blame you. Everybody wants to know what Mark Rolfing is thinking about watching it, how you're analyzing the situation. You've got to know it all. Well, I really appreciate the time you've spent with us. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that I haven't given you an opportunity to?
Now, keep up the good work, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks after I do my Golf Channel duty, and can't wait to be back in the island.
Awesome, and then you'll be back on the air with me. That would be fantastic.
That's the deal. Take care, Danielle.
Thank you. Mark Rolfing, awesome analyst and commentator, NBC Golf Channel, and Hawaii State Junior Golf Association board member. We're going to be talking about the Dean Wilson event that was played and all the different champions that have come out. It's just a really cool new event for junior golfers. It's very nice. All right, we're going to come back. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest, and author of The Grind, which is probably what it's feeling like way down yonder at the postage stamp. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's
go. I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it's Aloha Power's Summer's Here sale. No kidding. Mowers from homeowner size to super size landscapers, and they're all in stock. Mower accessories galore. They're all available at Aloha Power Equipment. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and hey, you're done. Let your equipment do the work instead of your back. It's fire season. Boy, Kauai's really getting it. Protect your property, protect your neighbors, take care of all of that that's growing around you. It's got to be cut back. And we ship off island. New shipments with the latest features arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. If you're traveling down Farrington Highway, you come to Waipahu Depot Street. You make a left turn if you're going west and a right turn if you're going east. And right there, you're in Waipahu at Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And tell them Danielle sent you.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Thank you. All right. I was wondering, we talk about the old tournament that the Open is. You know, how old is old? Well, let's go back. Is it the oldest? Not quite. Carlisle Bells, 1599 in England. They started off with their historic British flat horse race. That goes back to 1559. And they started giving those trophies away. And in 1599, it became, you know, a major oldest sporting trophy in the world. Scorton Silver Arrow in 1673. They started that in England, in Yorkshire. And yeah, that's archery. Royal Musselburgh Old Club Cup. That was 1774. The Royal Musselburgh Golf Club dates back to 1774. It's believed to be the oldest golf trophy still played for. The cup was presented by Mr. Thomas McMillan in Shorthrop, who won it and became captain of the club. That's nice. Make him the captain. America's Cup, 1851, Isle of Wight, England. The America's Cup is the oldest international sporting trophy. And here we are, the Claret Jug Golf Champion Trophy, 1873, Edinburgh, Scotland. The Claret Jug is presented, of course, to the winner of the Open Championship. And there you have it. It's not the oldest, but it's pretty darn close. All right, let's bring him in now. Alex Myers. He is a senior writer, Golf Digest, and he also writes this really cool every week It's called The Grind. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle. Great to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And are you keeping your eyes glued? I mean, I loved what you glued to the television set as you watch all the action. And what's up with you did a column a couple of hours ago on Phil Mickelson's attire. Mm. What inspired you to write about Phil Mickelson's attire?
Yeah, look, you know, let's be honest. We haven't seen or heard much from Phil these last couple of years since he went to live, and I kind of miss him, you know? I mean, he used to be the guy that, other than Tiger, I probably wrote the most about.
Right.
With all his, you know, not only his great play, but all his antics on and off the course. But
you mean he's controversial?
I'm sorry, what?
You mean he's controversial?
Yeah, you know, it's just a little, just a little. but, you know, he did a bet at some point with a popular YouTube golfer named Grant Horvat, and I'm just kind of getting into this YouTube scene as well, Danielle, but Phil's kind of dabbling a little. You know, we know Bryson's doing it, and Phil played this guy, and they made a bet, and if Phil lost with strokes, he was given 5 strokes, Phil had to wear joggers, which he thought would look really dumb on him because he's 54 years old, and I think they look really dumb on anybody, but that's because I'm kind of old too. But anyway, Phil lost, and he wore the joggers, and after one day, he liked them so much, he kept them. And, you know, I like the fact that he actually came up with a classic Phil reasoning. He said that in the wind, they're better because he doesn't feel his pants whipping around. So apparently Phil's a joggers guy. He made the cut at age 54, and yeah, that's why I kind of wrote about it.
Yeah, well, he did make the cut, and yeah, congratulations. Yeah. Wasn't easy.
Yeah.
The joggers, you know, in case you don't know what joggers are, they look like slacks for men, but then there's this little elastic thing down at the bottom around your ankles, right?
That's right. And again, not my thing. I have a couple of colleagues who wear them. They are maybe young enough to pull it off, I guess. I don't think I am. I don't think Phil is either. No offense, Phil. I mean, if anyone could at that age, it would be Phil. He's in great shape. But it's an unusual look. You know, the guy who rocks them probably the best is Akshay Bhatia, who we've seen a lot this year.
Yeah.
Very promising rising star on tour. He can pull it off because he's, you know, like 22 years old. But I think when you're older than that, I think Ricky Fowler kind of brought him into vogue a few years ago. And now others have followed because Ricky is a trendsetter. I'll give him credit for that. But it's not my favorite trend in golf.
Okay. Well, I get it. And tongue in cheek, Phil Mickelson was pretty good. When he said he posted as an unfashionable 54-year-old.
Yeah.
I never thought I could pull off wearing joggers. We're wondering whether you're actually pulling it off, but you don't look too bad in them, considering, right?
Right,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Classic Phil.
Yeah, classic Phil. What strikes you the most about this tournament? Is it one of your favorite, like it's my favorite?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the majors are my favorite, and, you know, I'd probably rank the PGA is my least favorite. Sorry, PGA. Just kind of everybody puts that as the fourth. I've always kind of gone back and forth on the U.S. Open and the Masters. In recent years, I've kind of finally given in and said, okay, the Masters is the best. But I think the British Open or the Open Championship is kind of right around there with the U.S. Open. I mean, I think, you know, if you're an American, you probably like the U.S. Open better. And
right.
If you're not, you probably like the Open Championship better. So, whatever, it's clearly one of the three best tournaments of the year is my point. And it's the unique one in that, you know, you got to wake up early or you don't have to, but you want to wake up early, to get up and watch it today. Maybe not as much on the weekend. The guys actually, at least for East Coast time where I am, the leaders didn't tee off till 10:45. So it's almost perfect. You know, you can kind of get up, do some stuff, then watch, and then you finish, and you could still go out and play golf after. So
perfect.
It's a great event, and you know, I just love. I think we all love seeing the elements come into play, and certainly that was the case in particular on Friday. The wind really just ate these guys up, in particular in the afternoon. Like Rory McIlroy, I mean, geez, we saw him hit a 90-yard wedge shot about 60 yards offline. I mean, it's just incredible. when the wind jumps up and gets the ball. So it's been a fun couple days, and it's really no surprise that a guy who loves playing in bad weather, Shane Lowry, and a former Open champ, is at the top of the board.
I didn't know he liked playing in the wind.
No, he loves it. He loves it, yeah. You know, look, Danielle, the people say they love it. Do they really? I don't really believe it. But the fact that he can even say it, I think he likes it because he knows other people hate it more than him, and it gives him an advantage. And I know Tom Watson used to say that. He used to hope there'd be bad conditions. I think even Jack Nicklaus would as well, because he knew there were some players out there who just couldn't handle it, and so it would just kind of weed out the competition for him. So I think that's why he likes it. I think if he had his choice, he'd rather be playing when it's 75 and sunny than, you know, 60 and raining and wind. But no, he clearly does handle it better than most.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There, you know, there's many LIV golfers playing at Royal Troon for the Open. And I don't know Dean Burmeister at all. He's tied for fourth, or at least he was at some point. Two under. Who is Dean Burmeister? Do you know anything about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a long-hitting South African player. You know, he's been getting kind of some love. He's popped up a few times in big events in recent history, but he's played well on the LIV Tour as well. You know, he's won a LIV event. He won earlier this year. I think that was in Miami he won. So, he's had a nice year. I think he was one of the guys who get the, an exemption into the PGA, and now obviously earned his way into this event. So, you know, he's not, I wouldn't say he was expected to be right up at the top, but he's also not a total surprise either. Okay. He's also not like a young guy. He's 30, he's in his mid-30s, but no, he's a talented player, and he's making a nice week for himself. Although, I don't know if you saw this, he almost got knocked out of the tournament by a drive by Dan Brown. Daniel Brown, tee shot on 7, almost hit Dean Burmeister on the 8th green at the postage stamp. He went over and apologized, and then Dan Brown made birdie from the 8th hole to the 7th hole, and he's just having a magical week. Now, he's a guy that nobody'd heard of before this week, Dan Brown.
Dan Brown. I was like, Brown? What's his first name?
And I should say Daniel Brown, because if we say Dan Brown, then obviously we think of the famous author, Da Vinci Code and all that.
Oh, right.
So it's Daniel Brown, the 29-year-old Englishman, who is making his major championship debut. So he shot a 65 on Thursday. He's the first person to ever shoot a bogey-free score of 66 or less in his first round in a major ever in history. I mean, no one has ever done that. So pretty amazing story, and I think everybody kind of expected him to, you know, oh, it's a nice story. He'll fade yesterday. He did not fade yesterday. He was in second place coming to today. And then he made an early bogey on the first hole today, and you're thinking, okay, the fairy tale's over. But no, he makes this wild birdie on 7, and he is really hanging in there. Kudos to Daniel Brown. He's certainly introduced himself to the golf world this week.
That's fantastic. That, you see, now you've made, you know, I'm like, I got to go home and watch.
he's fun. You know, it's crazy. He shows almost no emotion out there. It's pretty amazing. You would think he'd be kind of riled up playing in his first Open. He's got his younger brother on the bag caddying for him. It's a pretty neat story. And again, you know, it's one of those stories where you see it happen for a day, maybe two. I mean, he's now doing this for almost 3 days. I'm not saying he's going to win, Danielle, but
yeah,
even a top 10 would be one heck of a fairy tale story for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's surviving the postage stamp.
Right. Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, when you said he doesn't have any, you know, emotion, I am kind of getting, I kind of like seeing some of the guys express themselves. I think that's part of the game that's missing right now. There's not a lot of charisma. There's not a lot of personality that you see. You know, in most sports, there's some, I don't know, je ne sais quoi. And in golf, it's gotten to the point where it's like automatons. And right. I know they're not, because they're playing a very, very difficult game, and they're focusing and everything. But once the shot is hit, can they not show a little bit something? You know, I mean, that's
yeah. I'm with you, and there's certain. It's funny though, because there's certain guys who I don't maybe root for as much because of that. Maybe a Patrick Cantlay or someone like that. But on the other hand, his buddy Xander Schauffele is kind of like that too, and I love Xander. He's one of my favorite players, and he's having another great week. And certainly, Tiger Woods, though, of course, always showed his emotions. We all love that. But it's weird because there's so much more today with sports psychologists getting involved and helping guys out. And a lot of what they preach, really is just, obviously I'm breaking it down way simplistically here, but it's kind of, don't get too high on the good shots and don't get too low on the bad shots. So they're kind of taught to stay in this zone.
Right.
And that's what's going to help them. Now, it's funny you bring that up, because Shane Lowry, who had a little explosion yesterday at a cameraman who he thought moved in a shot, and he hit one into the gorse bush, and he ended up making a double bogey, kind of got a little hot at this cameraman. And afterwards, he was kind of asked about it, and he made fun of himself, and he said, it was my fault. I shouldn't have blamed people. But he did say that he has talked to people, and his team believes he's better when he does let his emotions out. So there's certain guys who that works for, and there's certain guys who aren't. I'll give you an example. Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark used to be kind of an explosive player who would lose his cool, and then we all know he kind of reined it in, and he hooked up with Julie Ellion, the great sports psychologist, and he won the U.S. Open last year, and he credited her for kind of changing his outlook on the course. So some people need to be reined in, and then some people like Shane Lowry, it just seems to work better for them when they let go.
Yeah, it's purging it. Get rid of it so it doesn't stay in your head. Yeah. I understand that completely, and at the same time, you do need to, stay in a box and just, not dwell on the past. And some people, the only way they can't dwell on the past is if they let out the feelings of frustration and, and then they become like human to those of us watching these people playing so fantastically in the, rain, wind, and big old jetliners landing right next to you, for instance, on the postage stamp. I understand.
Yeah, and the trains, and you got the trains whizzing by this course too, which is another obstacle. So it's all happening at Royal Troon. I mean, you got to, I remember being there in 2016 for that incredible duel between Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson. But I honestly didn't remember too much about the golf course itself other than the postage stamp, which I remember writing a story about walking all the way out there. I forgot how many steps it was. It was something like 5,000 steps to get out there and back or something crazy. Now I'm watching on TV. I think you actually see it better, and you kind of see some of these quirks that are pretty cool. And, it's near the water. It's near the beach. Like we said, the planes, the trains, it's all happening. The wind, the rain. it's an interesting spot. And look, we got a great leaderboard kind of bunching up here now.
Yeah.
Lowry's kind of come back to the pack. You got Schauffele chasing, Justin Rose, Scotty Scheffler in the mix too. So you get a great leaderboard and a great course. It's tough to beat that.
It is tough to beat that. I was looking at the cut list.
Yeah.
These guys could all be at the top of the leaderboard. Tony Finau, Ludwig Åberg, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood, Henrik Stenson, Tom Kim, Victor Hovland.
It's nuts, Daniel. Now, look, part of that is a lot of those guys got the bad end of the draw, and unfortunately that did happen this week. It's not the worst I've ever seen, but if you teed off, which one was it? If you teed off late and then went early, you were, I think, 2.3 shots better than the guys who went off early and then late.
Oh.
They got bad wind and rain on Thursday, and then they got bad wind on Friday. So that, Rory, a guy like Rory did get unlucky in that regard. But yes, it was still shocking to see some of these guys just how badly they struggled. I mean, there was a guy Aguri Iwasaki. He won the Japan Open last year to get into this event. He made back-to-back nines yesterday, Danielle. I don't know if I've ever seen that before by anyone, let alone a guy in a major championship.
Right.
He shot 91. And obviously, he's a heck of a player. He won the Japan Open. So that's how difficult it was for some of those guys yesterday. But, yeah, there's always going to be some big names who miss the cut. But, I agree. This week in particular, there were an especially high amount of those.
Yeah, yeah. And I love your story on Hideki Matsuyama continuing his impressive streak in major championships. Awesome. You know, we love Hideki here in Hawaii. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, look, it's kind of sneaky, but, yeah, he's made 18 consecutive cuts now in majors. He's the only guy who's made the cut in all four majors the last 3 years. The year before that, he only played in three majors. He had COVID. After winning the Masters, he had COVID, and he had the British Open that year. So his streak extends past that. And, of course, in 2020, there wasn't an Open championship. So he goes back to the 2019 Open at Royal Portrush. He missed the cut there. Since then, when he has started, he has made the cut every time. So that's very impressive. That being said, as I noted, the record is held by guys you may have heard of, Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods.
Oh.
He made 39 consecutive cuts in majors each. So that gives you a long way to go, but still, very impressive by him.
I love it. Oh, it's so good talking with you. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest, author, The Grind, a weekly column and video series, all at golfdigest.com. Thank you, Alex, and I look forward to talking to you again. In the nuts, it seems like it has been forever, but time is weird. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for having me on, Daniel.
Awesome.
Enjoy the final round of the Open.
Will do. You too. Aloha. All right, we're coming back, and we're going to go, on a magical mystery tour with Michael Abramowitz, Vice President, Public Relations and Communications, Concert Golf Partners, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now. Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Abramowitz, Vice President, Public Relations and Communications, Concert Golf Partners. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you, and good morning, Hawaii.
Yeah, and if his name sounds familiar, he worked with the PGA of America for, was it 19 years?
Yeah, just about 19 years. I was in the public relations and communications departments for the PGA.
You were a director of public relations. You were just in the departments. That must have been fun working, you know, like the Ryder Cup. That must have been a high.
Oh, it was amazing. And, you know, watching the Open Championship today and seeing Justin Rose near the top of the leaderboard reminded me of, you know, 2012 when him and Phil Mickelson had that duel at Medina and Rose was just sinking putts from, you know, out of nowhere, 30-foot, 40-foot putts. And just watching him and my mouth would drop. I mean, it was just amazing what he could do on the golf course.
It is. You know, but let's Concert Golf Partners. What is Concert Golf Partners?
Well, at Concert Golf, you know, we feature a boutique portfolio of 34 upscale private golf and country clubs across the nation, from sea to shining sea. We're not in Hawaii quite yet, but we go from Florida to all the way to California. Our clubs are upscale. They're some of the finest clubs you'll see in the country. And, you know, we're a growing, smartly growing company.
You know, when we first talked just a couple weeks ago, it seems, about Concert Golf and Concert Golf Partners and the portfolio of 34 upscale private golf and country clubs nationwide and the history of some of these clubs, I was like, we've got to feature each one of these inside the clubhouse because just one of them is mind-boggling, the history behind the building. Now, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right. The one club is Jasna Polana?
Yeah, Jasna Polana. It's near Princeton University in New Jersey. And we just acquired it in the last week or so. Basically, it's a 46,000-square-foot clubhouse that was constructed in 1975. It was a mansion that was owned by an heir to the Johnson & Johnson throne, if you will, J. Seward Johnson, and his third wife, Barbara Piasecka Johnson. And they decided to build this mansion as a home. It was a private residence. It was for $30 million they spent on what would become a clubhouse, but for 20 years was a home. And they hired the same architect who designed Rockefeller Center. He designed Lincoln Center. He designed the United Nations building, and they hired him to design their home. And this home, if you will, is just a palatial mansion. There's speakeasies there. There's like a Scooby-Doo bookshelf where you turn the door and you can go downstairs and escape to the basement if you needed to, where there's a wine cellar with a dining room in the wine cellar that's, if you look at it from the outside of the wine cellar, it looks like a vault, a bank vault. And you open the door, and then you can have a sit-down dinner. It's really, really neat. When they built the house, they had a doghouse built eventually that now has a view of the 18th green. It's a heated doghouse with heated steps going down. So, you know, in New Jersey, obviously, got to be worried about the ice in the winter.
Sure.
So they had heated steps.
For the dog.
For the dogs. And she made sure the steps were not so high because she had small dogs and she didn't want them leaping too high to go down the steps and up the steps as well. So, those dogs lived pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
The clubhouse, you know, when it was built, was one of the most expensive properties in the United States. And for 20 years or so, they lived in the house until Mr. Johnson passed away. And when he passed away, Barbara took over, and she decided to turn it into a golf course. So she reached out to the PGA Tour, and they, you know, worked with TPC. So it became TPC Jasna Polana, and Gary Player designed the course.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful course. Really, really nice design. You know, you'll see along the course, it starts off with a quasi palm tree that's there, which is unique to New Jersey, I'd say. And it hosted a couple of Champions Tour events in the 90s and 2000s. And it also hosted Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, where Tom Watson and Hale Irwin went head to head and had a nice, nice little duel there.
Yeah, wow. Now, you, when you said quasi palm tree, what did you mean?
Like, well, there, it's a palm tree, but it's not the palm trees that I've seen in Florida.
Okay.
It's not the palm trees I've seen in California. It's somebody brought a palm tree, and I think they grew it in the nursery that's there. And so it's a New Jersey-looking palm tree. It's not a spectacular palm tree, but it's a palm tree.
Yeah, you know, when you said speakeasy, you know, the, I don't know, the Roaring Twenties comes to mind about, you know, mm-hmm. the gangsters all over the place and the way the house was built so you could escape downstairs if you wanted, to get away.
Well,
this whole thing is wonderful.
The craziest thing about the house is there's a 9-person bathtub, go figure.
Wait a second. 9 people? That's not, it's an odd number.
It could seat 9 people. It's that big. And the club itself, there's a room there named after Prince Albert of Monaco. And he would come there. He was friends with Barbara, and he often would be there. And I believe there's still an honorary membership in his name.
Do you know what Jasna Polana means? Does it have, is that?
Yeah, she got the name. It was actually from Tolstoy's estate overseas. And she took that name, which is a Polish phrase that means bright metal. And, you know, the property is 222 acres. It's upscale. You know, some of the leading top leaders of industry are members, you know, Fortune 500 chiefs of industry. And it's a very exclusive club. It's, you know, a crown jewel for us. It's, you know, obviously the biggest acquisition we've made.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic. How does it fit into the concert's portfolio of clubs?
Well, you know, about 6 months ago, we acquired the club at Pasadena, which is on Monterey Peninsula. It's the closest club we have to Hawaii. It's basically a Jack Nicklaus course that has been described by Jim Nance as spectacular and one of the finest gems in California.
Wow.
And Jim's a member of the club at Pasadena, so that's one of the recent clubs we acquired. It's right on Monterey Bay. We acquired Walden on Lake Conroe, which is near Houston, and Northgate Country Club near Houston. Those were our first forays into Texas. The club at Pasadena was our first foray into California. And TPC Jasna Polana is our first foray into New Jersey. So we're spreading across the country.
Nice. So which ones have you had an opportunity to go visit?
Let's see. I was at Jasna a couple weeks ago, so that was a treat to get a tour of Jasna Polana is something that will make your mouth drop, honestly.
Yeah, I bet.
Make you shake your head that you can't believe what you're seeing. You know, there's 100 works of fine art that we're acquiring in that purchase as well. So
100?
Over 100 works of fine art that was basically accumulated by the Piasecka Johnson family. A lot of them from Europe, a lot of them that are extremely, extremely rare. So we're proud of that. So I got to see Jasna Polana a few weeks back. I've been to our courses in Denver, outside of Denver. Haiwan is basically in Evergreen, Colorado, right at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. And you'll see elk on the course, which is quite unreal to see while you're, you know, pulling up onto 18 with your golf cart or just teeing off on one, and there's a whole herd of elk. So that's a lot of fun. those are experiences that you'll always remember and you have to take pictures of.
Oh, yeah. Where else are you going to see that, right? I mean, it's really amazing. How does one become a member?
Well, you know, each club has memberships, and, you know, they can reach out to our individual clubs. They can go on concertgolfpartners.com and see our whole portfolio and find a club that's, you know, they're interested in and just reach out through the website, and, you know, we can hook them up with, you know, membership opportunities.
concertgolfpartners.com, if you'd like to. That's awesome. You were just in Hawaii, right? I mean, not too long ago. How long ago was it?
Well, it's actually 25 years ago.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I had my honeymoon in Hawaii, so it's near and dear to my heart. Frankly, to me, one of the most beautiful places, if not the most beautiful place on Earth.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I mean, you know, whether it was going to Volcanoes National Park.
Oh, yeah.
Or going through a park in Oahu.
Yeah.
Where we saw flamingos, you know, in full bloom. It was just amazing. It was great to see. Always loved being there. I'd be happy to go back one day.
Yeah, and so your wife drug you all the way over to the stadium?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, we had an opportunity on the last day of either going to Pearl Harbor or going to the Aloha Flea Market underneath Aloha Stadium or in the concourse. Yes. And so we chose, for us to go to the flea market. And we got some beautiful T-shirts. And she promised me that if we ever go back to Hawaii, that we would go to Pearl Harbor first. Well, 25 years later, still waiting for that trip back.
Yes, you better come back, you know. And get over to Pearl Harbor. You know, Michael Abramowitz, I'm looking forward to talking to you many, many more times to hear about all these different clubs and the fantastic architecture. Do they all have something like Yasna Polana?
Well, Walden on Lake Conroe has what's called the Walden Triangle. It's like the Bermuda Triangle. It's a nod to it. And our holes 11, 12, and 13 play right into the lake there. The peninsula is shaped like the boot of Italy.
Wow.
And it's really something to see and something to play because it's highly difficult but a lot of fun.
It's concertgolfpartners.com. Michael Abramowitz, Vice President, Public Relations and Communications. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thanks so much, Danielle.
Aloha. We're coming back. Dean Wilson is with us in the house. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Don't miss this. It's Aloha Power's Summer's Here Sale. Mowers. From the homeowner size to, you know, your little backyard, to the supersize landscapers, and they're all in stock. Mower accessories galore. You have no idea what you can do with that mower. You just mow it, blow it, and bag it, and you're done, and you can let that equipment do the work. It's fire season. We have to trim everything back, get everything under control, protect your property. We ship off island, and new shipments with the latest features arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. And tell them Danielle sent you.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And joining us in the clubhouse, Dean Wilson, PGA Tour champion, founder, Dean Wilson Junior Golf Classic, the inaugural tournament. Was my birthday week, July 15th through the 17th. Dean Wilson turned professional in 1992. He graduated from BYU. Of course, he went to high school here. He won six times on the Japan Golf Tour, once on the PGA Tour, and that was in a playoff with Tom Lehman. Welcome into the clubhouse, Dean.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and thank you for, you know, I forgot to ask you, what inspired you to put this all together?
Oh, you know, I just, Mary B. called and asked if she could put, if I'd be interested in putting my name on a junior golf tournament, and my one request was if it could be at Poly Golf Course, and then it was just off to the races to try to make it as fun of a tournament as I could for the kids, and so I just kept thinking about what I looked forward to in a tournament, and it, you know, started with the inaugural trophy and just kind of went on from there. And a lot of friends pitched in to make it a great event for the kids.
Yeah. Before we get to those friends, Poly Golf Course. Why Poly mm-hmm. Golf Course? What's so special?
Well, Poly Golf Course is where I learned the game, is where I got introduced to the game. I grew up in Kaneohe, and I played there. And that's what set me on my journey with golf, so it was important for me to have it there and get back in touch with the junior golf community and back in touch with the Windward side and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, I love the Windward side. I lived in Ka'ava for years. There's nothing like it. It's like you go home and you breathe again. Take a deep breath.
As soon as you make it through the tunnels,
that's right.
You know, that nice fresh air and that view is beautiful.
Yeah, waiting to exhale. So, Dean Wilson, his friends, sponsors, TaylorMade, Oakley, Sumo Fish, Seamus, Amble, the Alex Morgan Foundation, and a whole lot more, including your friends like Kelly Slater. How did they get involved?
Oh, you know, it's just through social media and our friendship. Once I let it be known that I had this tournament, and it was amazing how many people reached out and wanted to help. A good friend of mine, Serva Carrasco, that I play a lot with, is married to Alex Morgan, and she chipped in and wanted to pay for all the girls' entries.
Wow.
And that was amazing. Kelly Slater donated a competition used surfboard with his signature, which is incredible to me. So I had the two goats of each sport contributing to our tournament, which is incredible, really nice.
Yeah.
My good friend Chris Trott, Trotty Golf on social media and Instagram, is associated with TaylorMade, which was my sponsor since 2005. They chipped in and put in some drivers, some golf balls, and all kinds of stuff, to putters and wedges for the kids, and so we had some side putting contests and closest to the pins, which was really, really exciting for the kids.
Yeah, this is like looking at this, the custom TaylorMade drivers and putters and wedges and a custom persimmon drivers.
Yeah, you know, so how that started was I might be the last generation of using persimmon woods and heading off to college. And so when I got to college, that's when I first got my first metal wood, and that's when the whole era changed. And so I just kind of had this idea of bringing it back and having the young kids who probably have never seen a persimmon wood in their life actually hit one. So alongside the tournament, while they played 10, we had a persimmon long drive contest, and we had the kids hit some balls down there. And just to see the reactions of not only when they grabbed the club and looked at it, but when they hit it and the sound that it made, it's so different from the clubs nowadays. So it was really fun and priceless to see their reactions.
Did anyone want to keep it?
Oh, yeah, we had a few, you know, and what I did was I made some. So each winner, the boys' long drive champion, the girls' long drive champion, took home a persimmon driver, and each winner in each age division, so eight of them, took home a persimmon driver.
Wow.
And we had the the tournament logo etched on the bottom. So it's a trophy slash usable club.
That's wonderful.
I thought that was kind of fantastic, and the kids had fun doing it. I made it to the same specs that I had in high school, that I had to, you know, try and chase my golf dreams with and try to earn a college scholarship with. So it was fun, really fun watching them hit the ball, Danielle, with that club.
I bet. And you're right. You know, the head of a persimmon driver sounds completely different. There's something, I don't know, it's like, you know, it's soulish.
Yeah, it's like we call it the thwack, you know, and it's just the thwack and the feel. It really resonates with you. When you hit it right on the screws, like we used to say,
yes,
it really resonates.
It does.
So it's really, really fun to watch those kids and all their expressions hitting that club.
Yes, and our champions are 2024 Dean Wilson Junior Golf Classic winners, the boys 7-10, Cody Mao of Aiea, boys 11-12, Blake Nakagawa of Waimea, boys 13-7, Lakota Lee of Kihei, boys 15-18, Tyler Tamayori of Pearl City, girls 11-12, Angelina Lin, Honolulu, girls 13-14, Mara Gillespie, Waipahu, and girls 15-18, Kate Nakaoka, Mililani. Congratulations. Wow, what an exciting time.
Oh, man, it was so much fun. That little Cody Mao that won the 10 and under, he's got about the prettiest left-handed swing I've ever seen. and he just whacked that little 44-inch persimmon driver right down the middle every time he hit it. It was really impressive to see. My good friend Blake Nakagawa made the trip all the way from the Big Island to come over and play, and then went back home and got on a plane, and now he's back in Pinehurst, right in North Carolina right now, playing another tournament. So a lot of thanks to all these kids who fitted into their schedule and came out to the Windward side. We were blessed with great weather at Pauley, and it was just so much fun watching them walk those fairways. It brought back a lot of memories for me.
I bet. And all the people at Pauley Golf Course who, you know, the superintendents setting everything up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was great. And towards the end when we had a putting contest, we had a lot of people at Pauley that were getting ready to play that just sat around and watched the kids have a putting contest and watched all the fun energy they're exuding. And it was just a beautiful sight to see everybody enjoying the game of golf.
Yeah, I got to ask you, you said Blake Nakagawa of Waimea, that he mm-hmm. was able to fit this tournament in his schedule?
Oh, yeah. So he was in San Diego, actually, the weekend before. Flew home to the Big Island, got on a plane the next day, made it to Oahu Monday morning, drove over, warmed up, and teed off on Monday morning and won the tournament.
Wow.
And so, he's a good friend of mine and a good friend of Goat Hill Park up here, and I'm like, man, I can't believe he's just living the tour life already and experiencing what it's like to travel all around, play the different courses, experience the time zones. And so what a great experience he's having so far this summer.
No kidding. And remember, now, Blake, guys, he's 11-12. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. What a different day and age, right?
Yes.
So it's just such a wonderful thing that all these kids can travel,
yes,
and get a great experience playing golf at different parts of the country, different parts of the world.
Yes, and
really
he just
cool.
flew off to the mainland to do another event, you know, and it's magnificent. Well, Dean Wilson, the next time, or is this going to be an annual?
Yes, we're going to work for a date change next year and try to get it in early June as to not conflict with any other junior tournament that might be here on the mainland, whether it's Junior World or anything. And
yeah,
we'd like to have more kids come out. So we're looking to change the date and have a bigger celebration next year.
Well, I'd like to do my show from there. That would
we would love that.
That would be so much fun. Yep. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Dean Wilson, PGA Tour champion and founder, Dean Wilson Jr. Golf Classic, of course, with Mary B. Porter King. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back with Bob Bupka. I've known Bob for so long. He is so wonderful. Voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK. Co-host Musings on Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse soon. In a couple of minutes, I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back inside the clubhouse. If you're going to go out and play a round of golf, you know, we're giving away a couple rounds, two rounds. So you can friend and, you know, you can go over to the Volcano Golf Course and enjoy the absolutely spectacular. Just think about how far your ball will fly at that altitude. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's, you know, cheating. Not really. Volcano Golf Course, we have two rounds, 808-545-1111, 808-545-1111. All you have to be is the ninth caller, and you win the two rounds of golf. Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK and co-host Musings on Golf with Bob Bupka and Kelly Elbin. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Shucks, I'm number 10.
You're number 10? Oh!
I'm the number 10 caller. I missed out.
But I just said it, Bob. Is it ringing that fast? Wow.
Oh, you got so many listeners.
They're coming in wild and crazy. So good to hear
you. There
you
go.
I love hearing your voice. You're amazing.
Well, it's been quite a ride, and boy, what a tournament we got going on with that, you know, Open Championship. Just incredible. So many guys you can root for. I did pick Xander Schauffele to win before it started.
Okay.
I'm only one shot at the lead.
Uh-huh.
Justin Rose would be an incredible winner. Matter of fact, if Justin Rose wins, I'll guarantee you he'll come on with you, Danielle, next year out at Maui.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, he'll do it. Yeah, he will do it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, I don't get my hopes up here. I'm really excited. Now, what did you think when you saw the cut list? I mean, the Rory McIlroy, the Ludwig Oberg, the Tony Finau, the Bryson DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood, Tiger Woods, of course, you know, Henrik Stenson, Tom Wood, Victor Hovland. I was like, what?
Well, I've been to Royal Troon, so it didn't surprise me.
Okay.
I mean, you only have to be a foot off here or there, and you have nothing. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just a spectacular golf course. I mean, boy, oh boy. And the thing that's funny, when I talk to people and they tell me, hey, Bob, I'm going over to play Royal Troon. Oh, yeah? And they say, well, I hope the weather's good. I said, get out of here. You don't want the weather good. You want rain. You want wind. Then you'll be playing Royal Troon. You get Royal Troon on a bright, sunny day, you might as well be in your backyard chipping golf balls.
Yeah, so you really like the postage stamp, too?
I love it. I love it. 123-yard par 3, and anything can happen. I mean, I don't like the fact that the older I got, the more nervous I got every time I climbed into that coffin bunker, because I thought, well, maybe this is it. But so I stay out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you better stay out of that one, Bob. No, I mean, the idea of trying to, you know, hit out. What club do you use to come out of a bunker that's built like a... they did that on purpose. That wasn't something the ground created, was it?
Well, people ask me, what do I think the best club that you could hit to get out of there?
Yeah?
And I say, a Bible will work pretty good.
Yes. Good luck, in other words, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
good luck.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, once in, how do you get out? I'd be sitting there hitting.
Last time I was there, they bet me I couldn't get out, and I took the bet, but they meant I had to walk out, not using the stairs, and I couldn't get out. You know, they came back the next morning, picked me up. I was still in there.
Are there stairs coming out of the coffin?
Yeah, there's one entrance that you can walk up. But
yes,
if you don't use that, good golly, Miss Molly, you might be in there for a while.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, no, because it's deep, right? I mean...
very steep.
Yeah.
Straight up. Straight up.
It just seems so rotten on their part to create such a thing.
Well...
but, you know, how many bunkers are
ways
there?
Two ways of looking at it. You know, I guarantee you a majority of the players... they come over there to play Royal Troon. We'll try and hit it into that bunker just to say they've been in there.
No.
I mean, it's no place you want to be, but what a badge of honor.
Okay.
I survived
this
coffin
is true.
Bunker.
Yes. I'm getting it. On Friday, Jasper Stubbs, it was the Asia Pacific Amateur Champion at Royal Melbourne. He opened with an 80 in round one, but he birdied three of his first five holes out on Friday. He arrived at the postage stamp with, this is from Jeff Shackelford. He arrived at the postage stamp with slim hopes of making the cut. As soon as you start thinking about hitting one of those bunkers, you're doomed, said the 22-year-old Melbourne native. You've got to pick a good line and trust that the wind is going to take it, because it's definitely up there. You don't quite feel it back there on the tee, you see. The wind will get you, because you don't feel it on the tee. But so, yeah, Simon Clark, his caddy, and I chose a number, and I tried to play it to that number as best I could. Does that sound like good advice?
absolutely spot on. I'd hire that caddy. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what else strikes you about this particular Open?
Oh, boy. You know, it's everything that you could hope in an Open. It's challenging. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's so many great storylines just near the top of that leaderboard. How about a Billy Horschel? Never won a major. What about he wins? How about Daniel Brown? He's playing in his first major, and he's tied for the lead. I mean, you don't get stories like that elsewhere. And then on Talk Sport, they made me pick a winner, and I picked Xander Schauffele. And right now, he's only one shot out of the lead. Then we got Justin Rose. We talked about him. Mm-hmm. And then Steve Lowry, of course, he wants to win because next year the Open is at Royal Port Rush. And that's the home course for Steve Lowry. He's already won one Open there. And he certainly would like to go in next year as the defending champion.
Shane Lowry would love that. My gosh.
Oh, he would love it.
Yes.
He would love it.
Yes, that would be fantastic. Now, he's tied for third right now with Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele, and Justin Rose. Daniel Brown, like you said, I mean, who? Right? It's one of those reactions. I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah, well, nobody has. But guess what? When Daniel Brown looked in the mirror in the morning before he went to play, he saw somebody. And he saw somebody that could play very well,
yep.
And he's out there right now tied for the lead.
Absolutely. I know. It's really, really something to watch him. I mean, he's doing a fabulous job. Now, where does he normally play? Is he one of the LIV golfers?
No, he's not. He plays on the DP World Tour. Hasn't had much success. I think he... winning his purse, I think, was £21,000. But after you split that with your caddy and everything else and
yeah.
buy golf balls, you don't have a lot of money left.
No, just the airfare alone will, you know, will kill you. Yeah,
you're not going to Maui. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, another one I didn't know anything about, and I was surprised. You know how they forked over, I don't know, how many millions of dollars to get Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and John Rahm to go to Phil Mickelson to get them over to the LIV Golf, Louis Oosthuizen, Bryson DeChambeau, Cam Smith, all these guys, right? But Dean Burmeister... I don't see him. I don't know where he is on the leaderboard for a while, that he was tied for fourth or two under. He's an interesting fellow as well, as someone who is kind of establishing himself. But I couldn't help but wonder, how much did they pay him, or did he opt in? Do you know how that works?
I think he paid them.
You know, you've always got the answer. And I can always count on you. Thank you so much, Bob.
Well, it's been my pleasure,
yeah.
Danielle. I got to get back to my
you can't
open
go yet.
Coverage.
You can't go
on
yet.
Talk Sport.
Oh, you do?
It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure and a total enjoyment to once again be on with Danielle.
Bob Bubka, the voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, co-host of Musings on Golf with Bob Bubka and Kelly Elbin. And I wanted to talk to Bob about Musings on Golf, but he's got to be on Talk Sport right now. He was the author of The Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event, released in first ebook edition by Diversion Books. And Publishers Weekly said it's for the true golf fan, the one that shoots 36 holes in sub-Arctic temperatures and is unhappy when darkness falls. So there you have it. There's Bob Bubka, who specializes, of course, in golf reporting. Just love it. Now, the question, of course, is when will they ever figure out how the PGA and LIV is going to coexist on the planet. And I don't know what the answer is. It was interesting listening to Mark Rolfing at the beginning of the show talking about Tiger Woods and Tiger, whether he should continue playing or just focus, you know, on the outside world of getting everything figured out, how this can go forward. So there can be all of the names that we hear, you know, are that we like to watch play can be a part of the whole package again. It just seems to be, there's got to be a way to do it. And there's a way, the DP World is a great way to climb your way into the PGA Tour. So I thought it worked so well for there to be the place you wanted to go. You want to get to the PGA Tour. You have ways of getting to the PGA Tour. And here comes an entity that, you know, they're paying these guys to come play for them so that they can do what? Ruin the thing that was working so well? It just bugs me. And I can see Mark's point where Tiger would be serve better the game of golf than playing. But it's something he loves to do. And I wasn't surprised that he didn't make the cut. It wasn't an easy couple of days, but I did suggest, if I may, that maybe not playing those practice rounds before would be a better idea, because he does so well in the practice rounds, you know, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, it's tiring, and it would be great. I'd love to see him play. I'm glad he's still playing. You want to do that. It's something that is inside your skin, and you can't help but want to be out there in the mix, and that's just the way it goes. Although I don't think anyone wants to be in the mix if you're at the postage stamp and looking at all of those bunkers that are sitting in front of you. I've got a winner. Is this Naomi Sumida, fantastic, of Kaneohe, and congratulations, you've won the two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Course on Hawaii Island. It's really a spectacular golf course. And we've got some spectacular sponsors that I now need to thank for making this show possible. Because believe me, without them, we would not be able to do this show for you. I was reading Ann Miller. Ann Miller, thank you so much for writing that article about the show so many years ago. And I was reading it thinking, yep, it is definitely a labor of love. All right, the Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories, and their staff will help you find what you need. I love it when people, you know, you walk in the door and they say, hi, how can we help you? That's it. Pro cameras capture the memories, and their staff will help you find what you need. Don't know what to get? Yeah, we'll get a gift card if you'd like for someone you want to give something spectacular to. Pro Camera Hawaii. They're in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center, one of my favorite little shopping centers. So much to find there. It's Aloha Power's hot summer sale, and we have every brand of riding mowers from the homeowner to the supersized landscaper in stock. Trade-ins are welcome. Mow it, blow it, bag it, you're done. Let the smart equipment do the work, not your back. You want to take care of that faster and smarter. Get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. The Honolulu Sign Company. You know, if there's no sign, how do you know where to go? The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, hotels since 1939. You can't find the place. They can't find you without a sign. Honolulu Sign Company and the Aloha Section PGA teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts a lifetime for self, health, and friendship. Hey, go out and play a round of golf. That's right. You're going to have a lot of fun doing it, too. And make it fun, okay? Don't make it a chore. If you'd like to get out, I've got some tee times for you. There's a 10.08 at Kauai Lagoons. There's a 10.06 at Turtle Bay. There's an 11.08 at Bayview, so you can still get over to that one. Wailea Gold Course has a 10.50 on the Emerald. Oh, excuse me. It's on the Blue Course that we have an 11.10 and a 10.16 as well on the Emerald. The Players Group is going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time while you're out and about. And on the Plantation Course, there's a 10.28. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.